There's an awful lot in that parasha, and I think what always amazes me is that Noah knew the difference between clean and unclean animals. Just like Adam and Cain and Havel knew the difference between clean and unclean animals. So it wasn't hard for Noah to just take the seven pairs of clean animals on board the ark and only one pair of the unclean animals. But I'm not going to speak on that today. I'm going to look at Mount Ararat. So let us pray. Abba, you are our Father. You give the words that I'm to speak. But I pray that you'll open our eyes so that we can see wondrous things from your word this day. And may the words of my mouth and the thoughts of my heart be acceptable in your presence, Jehovah, because you are my rock and my redeemer. And I ask this in Yeshua's precious name. Amen. So I'm looking at the scriptures today, and I've titled it Comfortable and Relaxed in Obedience. When we are being obedient to the Torah, we don't have a worry in the world. We can only do the best we can do. We're not in the land. We don't have the temple. It's been destroyed. But we have Yeshua. And we can obey his word because he only spoke what the Father spoke. And we can observe the festivals in relation to who he is in our lives. So I want to look at two scriptures to start with. The first one is from Bereshit, Genesis chapter 8, verses 1 to 4, which is out of our Torah portion. And it says, "And Elohim remembered Noah and all the beasts and all the cattle that were with him in the ark. And Elohim made a wind to pass over the earth, and the water subsided. And the fountains of the deep and the windows of the heavens were stopped. And the rain from the heavens was withheld. The water receded steadily from the earth. And the end of the 150 days, the water diminished. And the seventh month, on the 17th day of the month, the ark rested on the mountains of Ararat." And in Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 to 27, it says, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and does them shall be a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain came and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall because it was founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them shall be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain came down and the floods came and the winds blew. They beat on that house and it fell, and great was its fall." Resting on Ararat is very important. That ark could have rested anywhere, but it rested on Ararat. Now, they had just spent 430 years in Mitzrayim, or Egypt. They were cursed by the people. They were cursed by Paro. They had to make bricks without straw, and their life was a curse. Then they came in. Their life was being cursed all around. In the days of Noah, the people would not listen to the word. Noah was the only righteous person. And Noah built that ark for 80 years, and they still wouldn't listen to him over 80 years, that they had to repent of their sins, that they had to be obedient to Yehovah's word. So Noah went out on a limb, because Abba told him to build the ark, and at that stage it had never rained on the earth. He didn't know what rain was. He didn't know what flood was, but he still, in faith, built the ark and then put on the ark all the animals that he was called to do. And so Noah was saved. He was saved from a curse that annihilated all of the people, all of the animals, and he was saved. The curse was reversed for Noah and his family. The curse of death by flood was reversed. Jehovah said he will never bring flood again. It was to be a new beginning. Jehovah actually blessed Noah with the blessing of power over all of the earth. And that is the same blessing that he first gave to Adam before Adam sinned. Jehovah's word of salvation for the soul of those who obey his word offers a place of rest for each and every one of us. It's a place to be comfortable when troubles come that normally upset us. We are to rest in the fact that the curse that came upon mankind when Adam sinned is reversed. We don't have to live as if we are in sin any longer. We are blessed with the position that Jehovah gave Adam of having power over this world and all that is in it. We might feel powerless, but we should have no fear. Because if we let go and let Yah take control, it doesn't matter what comes our way, COVID-19 or whatever, there should be no fear. This thought compares with the words of Yeshua. Because he is the rock, his word is the rock. Trusting on his word and hearing it and then obeying it likens each and every one of us unto a particular thought. The thought being that you are a wise man who built his house on a rock. You have built your house, your tabernacle, your personal self on Yeshua, the rock of salvation. You believe it and you live by it. And therefore, the word, the curse, when you hear the word, the curse is reversed. And in another way of saying, you make it your home. It's a place of comfort. You live there. It's where you reside, Yeshua and you together. A house is a building. It's different to a home. A home is where you live with the ones you love. It is decorated to suit your purposes, your taste, and show your heart to those that you invite into it. It's maybe a place where you kick off your shoes and you just relax. And there is no place like home. It is where you are the most comfortable. Well, maybe it's the place I am most comfortable. I'm not too sure about you, but I'm imagining that you do too. It's possible to hear the great word of Jehovah, that can never be a lie, and not obey it nor do it. Yeshua said such people that don't do the word are like fools who build their houses on sand and not on the rock. These people become comfortable with hearing the word and never obeying it. It becomes their lives. It's where they are at in their walk with Yah. It's a place of being comfortable where you really ought not to feel comfortable. Because if you're comfortable in your sin, you're not in the right place with Yah. If the curse has been reversed, then we must live as if it is reversed. We need to live it like it is true and act like it is true. If the curse is reversed, then you have dominion and power over all things that cause you to do those, that treats the earth's troubles and gives you troubles in your life, as though you have power over them. And that's where fear comes in. Fear is false evidence appearing real. When we trust Yah, there should be no fear. Because love casts out all fear. If we love him, we just should not have fear. Fear should be defeated. And if you struggle with this idea, or you're not comfortable with it, you cannot rest on it, but you can be comfortable in your own place, we should never get to a comfortable place where you hear the word, but you don't obey it. And that's really important. And this is why I believe the Torah is extremely important. The Torah, or the first five books of the scriptures, are the foundations of the rest of the whole word, whether it's the Tanakh or the Ketuvah HaShelekim. The Torah is the foundation. And without the foundation, we can slide down the slippery slope very, very quickly. It may be like two people in a situation in a place of sin. A word of Yehovah comes to both of them. Both hear it, but only one of them obeys and aligns themselves with it. He or she no longer feels at home in that sin situation. Such a person leaves that place and builds a house, so to speak, there on the word. This one now feels comfortable. He or she is comfortable knowing that what they did was what Yehovah proposed for them to do. However, the other one hears the word but doesn't obey it. In fact, he or she is comfortable in knowing that what to do, but refusing to do it. That person chooses to build their home and live in the comforts of disobedience. No wonder Yeshua said, there are storms that come and devastate that house. But the storms cannot come and hurt the house that is built on the rock. There is a message here, and that is, we were created to obey Yehovah's word. He intended for humans to receive his word and obey it. And if we do, we will not break down and we will not get ruined. For people who live their lives in disobedience to Yehovah's word, it's like using a machine for a purpose that it was not created for. It breaks down. It's like putting diesel fuel in a petrol engine, or petrol fuel in a diesel engine. It just doesn't work. The petrol will destroy the engine when we ignite it. It's like putting a Volkswagen Beetle engine in a Mack truck. It's too big and heavy for that little tiny engine. It breaks down and it's no good. Our lives were designed to only get by through obedience to Yehovah's word. We were created in Yah's image. We weren't created in man's image. We're created in Yah's image. Let us make man in our image, was what he said. The way we break down is by being sad too often, or overly depressed. Sickness is a way of breaking the body down. Sleeplessness and stress, nightmares, anxiety, worry and fear, guilt and condemnation. Humanity was not meant to suffer these things. They are all the results of a curse. And this curse of mental illness is attacking many people today because of the COVID lockdowns. Yah doesn't want us to suffer mentally because we are stopped from doing what we would normally do. But people who receive Yehovah's word and obey it are resting solidly on the rock. They are not you are not resting in your soul if you have nightmares and you are condemned or cannot sleep. If that's happening, you need to get on the rock. The curse is reversed. The word from Yah is true and it is perfect. The ark Noah built came to rest on Mount Ararat, the rock where the curse of death on all those who would not listen to the word of Yah was now broken. Noah and his family are back in the place Yehovah made man dwell and where he wants us to dwell, a place free of curse symptoms. You have all heard about the house that faith built, and that house that faith built is actually the ark. Noah believed Yehovah's word while the world refused to obey. Noah went into the ark that was built by faith. The others in the world rested in their homes, but Noah switched homes. He was comfortable in only one place, the ark. The world remained comfortable in their homes outside of the ark. The only reason he was comfortable in the ark, with animals that were mooing, honking, braying and squawking, and probably the stench was a little bit high at times as well, he believed Yehovah's word about a flood and obeyed the command to build an ark, even though, as I said, it had never rained on the earth before. He couldn't be uncomfortable outside of the ark. I'm sure none of those that were left in their own homes were comfortable watching the floods come up. He knew and believed the flood was coming because Yah told him so. But if he had refused to believe in the flood and therefore refused to obey the word of Yah, he would have been comfortable where the world was comfortable. Can we go to Matthew 24, verses 37 to 38, please? It says, in the days of Noah, so also shall come the son of Adam be. So shall the coming of the son of Adam be. And as they were in the days before the flood, eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark. They were enjoying themselves. They were having fun. But Noah could not do that. He couldn't enjoy that. Maybe later when other things were dealt with first. And you know, I know exactly what that feels like. I personally have never been able to have fun and enjoy myself where alcohol and loud music was involved. I've never been able to put myself in a position where I was not in complete control. And you can ask Malachi, I am a bit of a control freak, but I have to be in control of my own person. That's what's important to me. I've never been drunk, I've never used drugs, and certainly I've never been a party animal. I leave all that for my twin sister. My resolve was not to go, or if I was taken to an occasion, to a situation that I didn't feel comfortable, I couldn't wait to get out of that place. I have been to parties with my twin sister where she danced on the table and I wanted to hide under it. We are like chalk and cheese. She says she bends, but I snap. It's okay. We love each other. But the fool was comfortable in the house on the sand. He made such a statement of disobedience, a way of life, and became restful in it, doubting the word while trying to live in an ark of animals would not have been very comfortable to such a fool. But there is something about believing the word of Yehovah concerning how to survive in the troubles of life and building a house of faith. Our lives of faith may have to put luxury on hold. The hours of working to afford this luxury and the luxury that rob the time we really need to spend in messianic fellowship are not worth it when you believe the word of Yehovah. Because you see, we don't need Maseratis to drive. We don't need $27 million houses that are on the canals of the Gold Coast. Yehovah supplies our needs. He gives us the food we need, the clothes we need to wear, the roof over our head. You know, I pray daily. Yah, don't give me too much that I have to worry about who's going to steal it, but give me enough just to satisfy my needs. Yah will provide, and he always does. Your obedience puts you in such a place of divine protection that luxury seems insignificant. When we have Yah, we don't need luxury. We've got it. We've got him. I think about the world and I think, how would they survive without Yah? Because I don't think I could. We are blessed that we don't go to a place of worship where an occasional hypocrite may pass by and dig at your side. Where some people just come to go get a ride out of acting outrageously simply because their spirits are corrupted. And the place of worship is the place to dress more outrageously and like they want to do it to say things and dress and say things that they want to say to see how much they can shock you. I've been in places of worship like that. I praise. It's Hila. Thank you very much. She's concerned about my water bottle. Is she beautiful? They want to shock us, but they can't. In Matityahu, chapter 13, verses 24 to 30, it says, another parable, this is Yeshua, he put before them saying, the rain of the heavens has become like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed darnel among the wheat and went away. Some scriptures will say tares. And when the blade sprouted and bore fruit, then the darnel also appeared. And the servants of the master of the house came and said, Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? From where then did it have the darnel? And he said to them, a man, an enemy, did this. And the servant said to him, do you wish then that we go and gather them up? But he said, no, lest while you gather up the darnel, you also uproot the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And at the time of harvest, I shall say to the reapers, first gather the darnel and bind them in bundles to burn, but gather the wheat to my granary. As I said, darnel is also known as tares. The tares are in the field, and why do you suppose Yah leaves them there? He leaves them there to protect the wheat, so the wheat is not uprooted. We live in a world with darnel all around us, but we know that when the end time comes, the darnel of this earth, the darnel of this world, will be gathered and burnt up, and we will remain with Yeshua. It's no different to Noah. Noah was a righteous man. All the unrighteous that didn't want to follow him, they were killed. Noah rose above it and then came on Mount Ararat. The curse was reversed and he lived a long life on this earth. The righteous will always remain on the earth. Yah allows the adversary, the devil, to hang around for a while in this world. When the adversary attacked Eov or Job, he sought Yah more fully and eventually was purged as fine gold and came out with twice as much as what he had before he started. It is Yehovah who engineers the plans for what and what not the adversary can do. When Yah uses all of this to improve Eov's situation, had Eov not much concern with loving Yah, which is proven by obeying him, he would have shifted away immediately and cursed Yah and died. But he never cursed Yah, and he lived, and he was given twice as much as what he had before. In Yochanan chapter 15 and 13 it says, "No greater love than this, that one should lay down his life for his friends." Had Eov loved himself more than he loved Yah, his self-centeredness would have protected himself, and the role of righteous integrity may fall at the... Had Eov loved himself more than he loved Yah, his self-centeredness would have protected himself and concentrated solely upon his hurts in order to relieve them. But he loved Yah more than he loved himself. Hasatan cannot understand that. Neither can a lot of other people that do not know Yahovah. Therefore, hurting Eov's self was not effective against Eov. Just don't take away his Yehovah or his Elohim. That cannot be done in any way. That is what would hurt Eov. So his focus was not entirely taken up for himself. He did not pull away from worshipping Yah. He could have done that, but he did not, because he loved Yehovah more than himself. Yeshua so loved us that he laid down his life for us. Yeshua would rather die than let each and every one of us go. And this is the greatest love of all. So Yah loves the tares in the messianic community who sting and maim and hurt, because it weeds out those who really don't love Yah the most. A tear will hurt your reputation, as a tear has recently tried to hurt mine. They will let you know that they don't think very highly of you by their actions. They will backbite about you, and Yah lets them do it. But if you love your reputation more than you love Yah, you'll stop worshipping Yah and you'll quit. But as you can see, I'm still standing here. I haven't quit. And no matter what man says against me or about me, is none of my business. That's between that person and Yah, and I'll leave it with them. Where the word is the richest, you'll often find the worst tares. To whom much is given, much is required. And as I said from Yochanan, John 15, 13, no one has greater love than this, that one who lays down his life for his friends. We need the tares in our life to weed us out. But woe to those tares, because they are doomed. We need criticism, even destructive criticism, because all it does is makes us, refine us more and makes us purer as gold. In Micah chapter 7 and verse 8, it says, "Do not rejoice over me, O my enemy. When I have fallen, I have risen. When I sit in darkness, Yehovah is a light to me." The soul of righteous integrity may fall at the hands of a tear, but it will always get up again. Now we see what happens to the enemy in Micah 7 and verse 10. "And let my enemy see it, and let shame cover her who said to me, 'Where is Yehovah your Elohim?' Let my eyes look on her, Now she is trampled down like mud in the streets. My enemy is not just fallen, but also trodden down like mud in the streets. Don't be afraid. If you are really honest and love Yehovah's word, when it comes enough to obey it, the tears will only make you stronger. The same storms that beat on your house will beat on everybody else's house. But the place you feel comfortable in will determine if you bear up in it or not. If you are struggling and have a long time over a hurt that you still have a little bit of self-concern about and that is not healthy within you, you won't draw back from Yah's will, no matter if you give your life or it is taken from you a bit in suffering. And that is because you love Yah more than yourself. Why do people draw back from Yah due to hurts? Well, I've seen my own two sons do it when they were in their teens. Yah didn't hurt them, but man did. A man in a cloth. The problem was all their attention was directed more to them than to Yah. And in their immaturity, deep inside, self is the real God, but it is not. We need to rest in a house built by faith. Make obedience the very place where you need to feel comfortable. Our Creator made each and every one of you with all the likely and possible variables of trouble that this world can give. And He knew that when we were created. And if only those who survive the storms are the ones who obey the word, then Yah created us to obey Him. Obedient people who hold up through battles are houses built on a rock that storms cannot destroy, and any curse on their life has been destroyed. All I can say to finish this message is L'chaim Arok, to long life. We live a long life of obedience. We have nothing to fear. Does anyone have any questions? Then we will move on to the remembrance service.